Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
But Julio came to the Town Hall fold just before, right around the time that the riots were breaking out nationwide. And he was recently asked to come to Congress to explain some of what he had seen. And he joins us now to discuss that experience. Julio, thanks for being back with us. And I remember when you started reporting for Town Hall, because you were like Superman. You were in Seattle one night and New York the next, and Washington, D.C., and then Minneapolis. Like, I was trying to put, you know, pins on a map, like everywhere you were and filing stories from. But it was that year and a half that those, you know, post George Floyd riots broke out that we really did see kind of the bare teeth of a group called Antifa and what Black Lives Matter essentially was being driven by, because Antifa was functionally the engine or the guts of that entire movement. How were you received with your testimony on Capitol Hill?
Well, for the people that actually cared to hear what I had to say, it was received very well because I'm a subject matter expert on this. I've been to more cities and towns in 2020 than I can count. And really, I mean, this, you know, the issue of far left violence is a big issue because 2020 was just filled with it. I mean, the only really example in terms of, you know, mass chaos on the right was the next year on January 6th. And that was one day. And, you know, I'm trying to like do one or the other, but in terms of just, I mean, sheer numbers, you know, the BLM and Antifa riots certainly were more than what happened on January 6th in terms of, I guess, quantity.
But it seems to me that the left is almost incapable of having a rational discussion about even looking at the two, at the differences between the two, because we've heard more about January 6th from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over the last 3 years than we heard at all about the riots that followed George Floyd, except, you know, perhaps in a sketch where someone on SNL stands in front of an exploding fire behind them and says it's mostly peaceful. I mean, it really was cartoonish, if it wasn't so tragic, the way that the left and the media worked together to really, you know, silence that story.
Yeah, and that's why Town Hall sent me to all these places, because we couldn't rely on most of the mainstream media to accurately retell what was happening. And so it was to myself and a handful of others, you know, the riot squad essentially, to travel the country. And you know, we couldn't be in two places at once, as much as I wanted to be. But it was, I mean, it was a very difficult time for the nation. And yet, because of who was perpetuating it, we couldn't have an actual debate or even a discussion on how to address it. Because, well, if you were against it, you were racist.
So what was the purpose of the subcommittee hearing that they asked you to appear before? What is that subcommittee looking into?
Looking basically into how the Antifa groups operate. And the funny thing is, it's not rocket surgery. You know, they are small cell units. They are decentralized, you know, predominantly centralized in the Pacific Northwest, but there's also some in D.C., Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, any of the big cities. And when they're able to unify over an event or over an issue, they can cause a lot of damage. And so I told them that we don't necessarily need anything new from Congress. The laws just need to be enforced. I mean, you know, I mean, that just seems to be an issue across the country, not just dealing with Antifa, but we talk about just regular criminals.
Right.
You know, if you have people that are willing to arrest them and actually take them to court for serious crimes, you're going to put a massive dent in their operational capabilities. And so that's what I told Congress.
How were your comments and your observations received?
Well, I'm assuming you're alluding to Congressman Daniel Goldman.
Yes.
Well, so for him, he took the issue that I was contradicting the FBI director on his old quote on saying that Antifa is, you know, more of an ideology, not necessarily an organization, and he was saying, you know, how dare, you know, Julio Rosas, whoever this guy is going to contradict the FBI director. And of course, my response is yes, because I actually know more about Antifa than the FBI director. And also the fact that he was trying to uphold the FBI as some an unimpeachable source of truth at this particular moment shows its hubris and or lack of reading the room capability.
That does speak very candidly of some blind spots there. The interesting thing about what you just said, though, Julio, is that we do have, at least in one political party, a willingness to live with this violence, a willingness to allow it to perpetrate and grow, a willingness to even utilize it when it benefits their political viewpoint from time to time. How does that strike you when we're talking about a nation that is at the crossroads that we're at right now?
Well, it's just that they're full of it. And, you know, I hate to say, you know, I hate to, you know, fall into the, you know, oh, look at the hypocrisy of the Democrats. Because I mean,
no, but I guess I'm asking bigger picture. But, like, are you concerned that the country is in a situation where something, if the event was cataclysmic enough, are these forces that are willing to look the other way and let this stuff happen, could it break out in a civil war from where you sit?
Well, yeah. So the reason why I do highlight the, you know, the Democrats, because you're right. It puts us in a very dangerous path. I mean, we are on a dangerous path. And I put that in my testimony, in my opening statement. But, you know, I said, I don't know where we're headed. But if the judicial system and law enforcement doesn't take the far left threat seriously, something like the outcome of the 2024 presidential election can spark another wave of violence that we might not come back from. And that's very concerning, because for a while in 2020, towards the end, I thought we weren't going to come back from that, because everyone says, you know, it was a summer of love, you know, jokingly, but it wasn't just the summer. It went well into November. I was covering riots as far as November, and even before, you know, before January 6th. So, and January 6th, honestly, you know, those two aren't separate. It's the same tangent, in the sense that people saw that if you create enough violence, you can kind of get what you want. So of course, people on the other side are going to react to that if they feel that they're being wrong. And that's not justifying it. I'm just saying that when the nation put up with so much violence in 2020, of course, people on the, you know, the extremes on the other side are going to say, well, then now we're going to go ahead and do the same thing, because why wouldn't we?
Do we have, as best as you can determine, do we have a real understanding of how many people died in the Antifa riots and what level of damage there was property wise?
It was in the dozens. It kind of fluctuates, because again, it depends on the time period. Because again, most people think about the summer, but it went beyond that. So, and really, it's almost incalculable, because the high crime in terms of murders that we've seen post 2020, that's also the same thing, because police departments were at first defunded, so you know, money was then put back to deal with the high crime, but now police departments are understaffed. So of course, you know, when you have a whole movement that's demonizing police and lauding criminals, of course now the regular criminal element is going to be emboldened to go out and do their acts, and that's why we're seeing kind of the new intensity or low intensity chaos that's plaguing our streets in major cities. So I view the murder rates, crime rates today, all tied back to 2020. It's related to that.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs, offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.